We've been going to the nations for 25 years. In 1998, November, I would confess to you that I was not much of a world traveler, didn't have much interest in doing stuff over there. Thought there was enough here to be done. And I know that can be a sentiment for so many people. What about here? My first trip to China was in 99, and went all over the place. It was in a city called Lanzhou, about a city at that point, about 8 million people, with about 60 believers in the whole place. We walked through a Muslim quarter, and 200,000 people in this quarter, and I was undone. Came home, came back to the hotel, asked the question, there's a lostness here. And those babies that touched us, that we took pictures of, those babies that those young men, those young women, those children will have no opportunity to hear the gospel on that day or probably the rest of the year or maybe the rest of their lives. And I thought of the precious children's song, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Yellow, brown. I don't know if that's too... I don't know if I'm supposed to say that now in this kind of society. But I thought, man, I'm going back to Erath County. Where there's at least 25 Baptist churches. Where there's going to be a vacation Bible school where some kids will go to 3 or 4 all summer. There's churches everywhere. I mean, even today, you've traveled, some of you traveled real far, and you passed a whole lot of churches getting here. Opportunities. People have Bibles. People have radio. People have television. They can get on and they can see it. They have every opportunity to hear the gospel. But those folks on that day will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I had a crisis of faith. And I still think about it. And this whole thought of if God is calling us, and if we really believe in the Great Commission, if we really believe in the Great Commandment, if we really believe that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, we have to identify who our neighbor is, and sometimes it's far away. Our farthest neighbor are the Hani of Southwest China. It's our farthest neighbor geographically. Some of you have a farthest neighbor who's your enemy emotionally. And we're called to love them, not disparage them, not to hate them. It's remarkable. Every trip I've ever gone, I mean, we're all alike all over the world. These folks who have parents, these families, these husbands, these moms and husbands, they want the best for their children, just like you do. They want to know how they're going to provide. They want to know what, as they grow older, what they're going to be like. And they want to give them every opportunity. They want to love on them. They want to bless them. We see it all over the world. They're just like you and me, but they don't have Jesus. They don't have Jesus. They have no opportunity to hear the word. And I realize that in this society, I mean, 25 years later, I mean, it's a little bit more, the gospel can be really more accessible, but you can't access it on China and internet. They shut all that down. We heard stories of folks getting on the internet in Turkey and finding Jesus. And I think about this 5 million town of Izmir. It's the ancient city of Smyrna. You read about it in the Revelation chapter two, and there was a church there. We walked through Ephesus. There was a church there. Walked at Pergamon. There's a church there. I mean, we were in a place of the first century church ever. And we walked those streets, and I know some of you saw some of my own posts about being in these ancient ruins and these cities, and it was exciting, it was nice, but I'm going to tell you, the French have a term called lagniappe. We hear about it when you're from New Orleans. Lagniappe is a word that means a little something extra. It's like the baker's dozen. And the sights, I think we would all say, was just a little something extra. It wasn't the main thing. It was the people of God. It was the people of God. And you know, I don't have all the time this morning to go through this message, but I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul is on his second missionary journey. They made this decision that they were going to return back to all the churches that they had visited. On the first, you find that in chapter 15, verse 16. And it's interesting to me because Paul has got this spontaneous thing about him. Let's go do it. Let's go. I mean, he responds to the call of God, to the word of God. And he just gets up. And they go to these places. And the scripture says in verse 6 of chapter 16, they pass through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, the Phrygian and Galatian region is more central Turkey today. And God's forbidding them to speak the word. And I wonder, why? Why is God forbidding them to speak the word? It doesn't make sense. When you think about the Great Commission, and we're here anyway. I mean, we're close. And then the scripture says, and then after that they came to Mysia, and they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. We got to see a little bit of Troas. There's not much to see there, but because it's mostly, the ruins are mostly under oak trees and brush. The little place that we were at was the ruins of the Roman baths and the gymnasium, which had this big arch, and stepped up on that arch and kind of looked, and you could see the sea. And Troas was the place that he was there one day. He was trying to get into Asia, trying to get into Bithynia, and God was not letting him get into there, and he's in Troas, and the Bible says that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Southwest China and help us. Come over to Cambodia and help us. Come over to Mexico and help us amongst the Tarahumara. And I'm just telling you, as a pastor of a church that easily says yes to him, I believe we've responded to every invitation God's ever asked us to go. I believe we've done that. Come over and help us. It's the cry of the human heart. We need help. And they may never even articulate it like that. They may never say it like that. But we know. We know who we were without Christ. We needed somebody to help us. We needed somebody to share with us that we could know Jesus, that we could be free. We needed to hear the gospel. Every one of us. Come over and help us. It's the cry of the nations. It's the cry of the heart. It's the point of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach and declare the gospel. And I just want to say this because I think it's so very important. God is always inviting us to join him in the places that he is working, whether it is at home in Erath County or Coleman County or Hamilton County or Comanche County. I'm missing a couple here. Wherever you come from on a Sunday morning, that there are people saying, come over and help me. Come over the pasture. Come past the parking lot. Come over. Come over the hallway and minister to us. We need the light of Jesus. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And isn't that interesting that he would say that in Matthew chapter 4? You are the light of the world. Jesus already said that about himself. He already said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I'm your light. And it's an interesting thing because when he is saying, come over and help me, he is saying that to the light of the world. Because you and I and Jesus are the light of the world. The light of the world. The big L, right? The big light of the world. Big L. Us. Little L. He says it. He says, listen, I'm the light of the world. He who will follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And all of a sudden, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 4, you are the light of the world. You have the light. You possess it. And that's what we are. We're possessors of the light, Jesus. And we're called to transmit that light, to declare it, to proclaim it. And I can't tell you just how much it just makes me so pleased to be a part of a body that wants to go and be light in the world, but not just over there, here, right now, right here. Yes, in Erath County and all these counties around us. Yeah, the Bible Belt of the South. There's people who have still not heard a clear, definitive word of the gospel of Jesus, and that's the truth. They've not heard the gospel. They've not heard a gospel presentation. And I'm telling you, it's dark there, but you and I know it's dark here. But there's no excuse here. There's no excuse here. Every opportunity to hear God, to follow God, to hear what he's saying to us and to respond and the way that God is calling us to respond. Many years ago, when we were first challenged to go to the ends of the earth, we were challenged to pursue the glory of God to the ends of the earth, to pursue his glory because his glory was not known in so many places. And we were challenged to put our yes on the altar. So what does that mean? It means, are you and I willing to put our yes on the altar so that when God comes along and tells us and asks us, we can say, oh, my yes is already there. Oh, is that what you're calling me to? Is that what I'm saying yes to? We live in a church society that's scared to death of hearing God because God might send you to China. Well, let me tell you, if that's you, you're in a church that goes to China. You are. Have sent over 700 people to China alone. And we've seen God work. Where there was no presence, where there was no gospel presence. When you think of the 40, 50, 60,000 people who've come to Christ and the 1,000 groups that have been planted in some form or fashion because a church in Erath County put their yes on the altar. And as your pastor, I'm saying this, our yes is still on the altar. When you come to be a part of Cottonwood, when you come to identify with us, to attend with us for however many years, to become a part of us, you're putting your yes on the altar. I want to tell you that right now. And you may never get on a plane, and you may never go over the ocean, and that's okay. It's okay. But maybe you will cross the street. Maybe you will cross a border. Maybe you will cross a state line. Maybe you will cross into an inner city. Maybe God has that for you. Matter of fact, he has it for all of us. All of us. Come over and help us. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put a peck measure, a basket over it. That just looks plain ridiculous. Matter of fact, it's stupid. No, he puts it on a lampstand. It gives light to everyone there. And if you're in Christ, that's who you are. You are the light of the world. And if you believe that today and receive that today, then you ought to have a certain kind of responsibility in your heart to get things right where you need to get things right, to do what God's asking you to do, even if it doesn't make sense, and to put the yes on the altar and say, I'm all yours. Do you imagine what God can do with the church that everybody says, we're all in. It's not just about Sunday morning, but we are all in. It's whatever you want, wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to stay, we want to abide in you, and we want you to abide in us. It's the call of God. Come over and help us. Go over and help them. Come over and help us. I know this might sound a little different, but I was told this morning, some folks that are working in the nursery say, we're just desperate for people to come on over to the nursery. Come over and help us. And we've made this appeal over and over and over. And I want to just say that. It's important. The house struggles getting people to volunteer. Just a couple of weeks, every 6-7 weeks. Come over and help us. come over and help us. Some of you will come into this place and you think it's so big that you don't have a place, but I'm going to tell you, come over and help us. God's gifted you. God's placed things in your life. You step on this property, it's not because, and you see all the things going, it's not because Fritcher one day got a grease board out, a whiteboard up, and said, this is where we're going. No, God brought people with gifts and passions to say, we need a children's ministry. We need a youth ministry. So is that some kind of vision that I had? You came. Passion. Giftedness. Started things that we never dreamed of starting. People who would say yes to him. And I'm going to ask you, are you saying yes to him? Is your light shining for him? Have you put your yes on the altar? Have you put your yes on the altar? I come back from this trip. People say, how's this trip? I've been going to overseas for 25 years. And I'm just telling you, this is one of the top for me. I mean, I've helped train the first Hani pastors. I got a privilege of doing that. I've walked in the Copper Canyon for 2 days, the darkest place that I've ever walked in. 20% of the canyon is now believing. Not because of us, but because of folks that have said yes to him. I want us to be a church that says yes to him. And I want to be a pastor that says yes to you. And whatever God puts on your heart, something you don't see happening here that needs to be happening here, I want to help you get there, love you to get to that place. Because you're all gifted. You all have a gift. Every one of us, if you're in Jesus. And that gift is not to be hid under a peck measure, but it is given to exercise it. It may be a speaking gift or it may be a serving gift. But the Bible says that if whether it's a gift, a serving gift or a speaking gift, that we're to employ it. We're to employ it for his glory. And I didn't say this because I think it's important to kind of follow up for what I saw this week. I saw a team from Cottonwood bear the light of Jesus. That's what I saw. They let their light shine. Saw it in the plane. Saw it in restaurants. Saw it to the hosts that hosted us in two hotels and one retreat center. And it's true. One of the first places we went to was a place that was it's a hotel with 10 rooms. A couple there that had been doing this for 6 years. And that couple, that wife told Gwen, we have served so many Americans and so many people and we've never seen anybody like y'all. So what does that look like? What does it look like to bear the gospel? To be the light of Jesus. And, you know, I think about that as I just, actually I was, you know, thinking about, actually got up early this morning. What's the light of the world supposed to do? We're to reflect the light of the world. When you look at the word light in Scripture, it indicates the true knowledge of God. It's the people who know God. Now, you may not know him fully. You may still be a little immature in your faith, but that's okay. You're saying yes to God. You're not waiting to get a seminary degree. You're not waiting to get a Bible degree. It's just you're starting off to tell the story of what God's done. It's like beholding God, beholding the glory of God, and proclaiming it. Think of it this way. Behold God working in your life and go tell somebody. Behold God, behold the glory of God, and go tell somebody. That's simple. It's the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's how we live. Light indicates goodness, righteousness, and truthfulness. Ephesians 5:9 says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Light indicates joy, gladness, and true happiness. Psalm 97:11 says, light is sown like seed from the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Light indicates, watch this, an absence of complaint and grumbling. Wow. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. On the screen. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Verse 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Do you see that? No grumbling, no complaint. Not in a few things, but in all things. How many of us grumbled this week? Oh man, I got a great congregation. Nobody grumbled this week. Your light's good. How many of you grumbled this week? How many of you disputed this week? How many of you complained this week? Okay, we need to have an altar call and y'all need to repent.
Yes, Lord.
Isn't that interesting? We like the joy. We like the gladness. We like the knowledge of God. But he says, listen, when you're grumbling and complaining, you're not appearing as light. You're appearing like everyone else. I'm going to tell you, I never heard one person complain this whole time. I mean, we were late off the going off. I mean, we were 2 hours late. We were on the tarmac because we had storms. Nobody complained. Got late, got there late, missed our first flight. Yeah, nobody complained. Some of the accommodations in one place wasn't that hot. Nobody complained. If you've gone to the nations in the church, you've slept in worse. A whole lot worse. No complaint. Nothing complaining about the food. Tired, fatigue. Talked a little bit about jet lag, but that's just normal. No complaint. No disputing. Great team from amongst you. Saw the light. It's true. We've never seen anybody like this. I think about it in the opportunity that we have overseas to thank your waiter. And if you pray before a meal, you better give a good tip. Because they're watching. I think I said this to the elders this morning. I think every one of us in this life, we just want to know we're doing a good job. On the way back, we were supposed to land in Dallas on Wednesday night. And we circled five times. And then they got us to Houston. And everybody, I mean, there were people complaining to these servers. Complaining. What are y'all going to do? Like, what do you mean, what are they going to do? Are you kidding me? They're probably just as uncomfortable as we are. No control. They don't work in the tower. They don't work the weather. And they're not the pilots. And every time we go, it's always thank you. You're doing a good job. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your service. Well, they canceled the flight. I thought we might be on that plane, Craig, for a couple of hours. And in my lifetime, I've struggled with being stuck in places, and we were stuck on that plane. We were stuck on it. And you know, you hear these nightmares, 8 hours, 9 hours, stuck on a tarmac somewhere. And then they canceled the flight, and the next flight would be 4 o'clock the next day. No complaint. It's interesting, when I walked off the plane and there was a steward and a stewardess there, and or a couple of them, and they were, I said, thank you all very much. And she kind of did a frown, you know. I said, hey, it's not your fault. She went, oh, got this right. Did you hear what he said? It's not our fault. Something so simple to walk in kindness and gentleness and not to presume something that you should not presume. Jump to a conclusion you don't need to be jumping in. Do all things without complaint or disputing. All things. So that you might appear as lights in a perverse generation. I mean, the Bible says in Jude that grumbling is ungodly behavior. It's not becoming of the church of the living God. Why? Because the light of the world doesn't grumble or complain. And his seed is living in us. This light is awesome to be able to walk in, to receive, to give, to be givers, not takers, to walk in life, not death, to walk in gratefulness, not complaint. This is what the people of light do. You are the light of the world, he says, and you're to let your light shine so men may see your good works and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. As a husband in your marriage, as a wife in your marriage, as moms and dads, sons and daughters with moms and dads, let your light shine. Because if you're in Jesus, you got it. And you got everything you need to live in him. Everything. And this is the challenge for us. And the question that I would ask in closing this morning is, do you really believe that you're the light of the world? Do you really believe that you're the light of the world? Now, let me tell you what the world is. The Bible says, don't love the world because the love of the world, the world is passing away. The world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. And people in this world are full of that. Full of that. Yet you're the light to them. You're to be givers, not takers. And that's my challenge for us today. Yes, on the altar. Oh, God, choose me. Call me. Put compassion on me. Lord, I want to walk in your compassion. I want to walk in your light. I'm going to close with Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. So go to Isaiah. This is a Christmas message, or can be. It's that talks about the advent of Jesus 600 years before Jesus. People need your light, folks. You have the light of light if you're in Jesus. And if you're not in Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him, you can't do what we're about to talk about. You need a relationship with him to know the light of the world, Jesus. There'll be no more gloom, verse 1, for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Notice, do you know people who are walking in gloom, anguish, contempt? And he says, no more, no more gloom, no more anguish, no more contempt. This is the promise of God when Jesus, the light of the world, comes. This is what we get to walk in. This is what we get to live in. This is what we get to proclaim. The people who walk in darkness, they'll see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon him. And you shall multiply the nation and you shall increase their gladness. Do you see it? Do you see what the light does? The light shines on them. He takes away the anguish. He takes away the gloom. He takes away the contempt. And he comes and he shines in a dark land. And all of a sudden, he's multiplying the nation. And he's increasing our gladness. And we'll be glad in his presence. It's with gladness of harvest when men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You'll break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. That's what he says he'll do. He'll break the yoke of anger. He'll break the yoke of unforgiveness. He'll break the yoke of lust. He'll break the yoke of the things that bind us, that hold us down. He'll break the yoke. That's what Jesus comes to do. He'll break the yoke of unforgiveness. We had a wonderful translator that I'm hoping he'll visit, because he's talking about coming to visit. 20-year-old guy. Been a Christian since he was 16. Came to Christ through an American missionary or pastor, worship leader, got on the worship team, learned his English so great that he can translate papers and do translations. The best translator that I've ever been with, I think. I don't think he was saying anything different than I was saying. At least they didn't say they were. Oh, yeah, they told me. He was really good. Met him, just met him when we got to the retreat center. Got to talking about his story. And I hadn't been back to church. Pastor apparently embezzled some things. They were all called back. Lost his friends. And his statement was, I hate that guy now. Hate him. I said, Bubba, is that working for you? No, it's not. So the only way out of this is to forgive him. And I got a prayer that can help you do that. So I'm not ready. I said, well, I've been told that before. But I'm still going to share it. I'm going to ask you just to repeat it. You don't have to pray it. Just repeat it. Second line. First line, Father, I confess that I've been hurt, disappointed towards this man. And I've walked in bitterness. That hurt has moved into anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness. And this is sin. And when he said this is sin, he began praying it. He began praying it. They've hurt. They've disappointed me. I'm walking in bitterness. I'm walking in anger. And this is sin. And Lord, I know that on my own, I could never forgive them. But I know that you can through me and I can through you. So right now, in the name of Jesus, by an act of my will and by the power of the Spirit, I choose to forgive this man for. And then he rattles off everything he's forgiven him for. And he says, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in this prayer, I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put on love. And as you've forgiven me, I'm going to forgive. And I believe with all my heart, he forgave. Next morning, I see him. Hey, any layers coming off? You're like an onion. You peel like an onion. Like an onion. Sunday, we're walking in the village above the retreat center. He said, Pastor Mike, I got to tell you, I'm the happiest that I've ever been. He's talking about moving from Izmir to this place so he can be a part of this local body. He's talking about getting his parents to move from Izmir so he can be a part of this local body. Who loved on him. And we had a chance, team. Cotton, we had a chance. You had a chance. You might not have been there, but in your prayers and your giving and your sending and all of that, you got to be a part of this. I know it's vicariously in some ways, but I'm just telling you, you get to be a part of it. And I can't wait to see what God does with this young man. These are the things that we saw. We saw people responding to the light in us. And I got to just say this. If you'll put your yes on the altar, I'm telling you, in the morning you'll get up and you'll go and this will be on your mind and God will send somebody your way and you'll start engaging them and having conversation with them. And then you'll find out a little bit about their life and you'll find a little bit how they operate. And you'll find a little bit more about them if you've known them before. And all of a sudden you realize I've got the message of Jesus and I'm going to share my testimony of how Jesus changed my life. I'm going to behold what God's done in my life, and I'm going to tell. Behold him, proclaim him. Behold him, proclaim him. And I want to say this. I know so many of you that God has touched your life, but when's the last time after you've beheld God that you've told somebody? And I'm not talking about four spiritual laws or some little pamphlet that you put on their nose and you press them. I'm just telling them, tell your story after you ask them about their story. Because there's a lot of people searching, a lot of wounded people who are saying, come over and help us. Come over and help us with the light that's in you. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I want to thank you for the invitation of this great God. You, this great God, who's invited us to be a part of the kingdom of God. You call us lights of the world. And yet you've called yourself the light of the world. And this light, it consists of goodness. It consists of righteousness. It consists of a grateful spirit, not a grumbling spirit, not a complaining spirit. It's light that indicates joy, gladness, and true happiness. It's this light that's sufficient, that's comprehensive to conclude all the blessings of salvation. It's how we live. If we're not living the light, Lord, I pray that we'd confess that today, repent of it, and believe who we are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, if we have not met the light of the world, Jesus, I pray that today would be a day that we meet Jesus. That God, that there's this conviction in our heart, that there's this thing in our heart that says, I want what this pastor's talking about, what this man is talking about, what this pastor, Mike, is talking about today. We want that. I pray, Father, today as a result that we'll go home putting our yes on the altar. It says, here am I, send me. Well, we've got trips coming up, Lord. So much to see as a church body. So much to be a part of. And I just ask, God, that you'd equip us in these days. And Father, that Jesus would come and break the yoke of our burden. Lord, you said a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And your name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there'll be a no end to the increase of peace. I pray for that kind of light upon your people today. And I thank you for it, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's stand together. Would you do that? A couple of questions before the blessing. What has God said to you today? What has God spoken to your heart today? Does part of that speaking mean that you need to get with me this week, next week? Somebody on our staff, Sunday school teacher, elder. What has God spoken to you today? What is it about your life that you just know is lacking in the area of gladness and increase and the Spirit of God resting upon you, the light of God's glory? I know that there's the heart of so many of you, God, I'm not where I need to be, but I want to be. And we need each other to get there, to love one another to the places God's called us to be. And make no mistakes about it, I'm not talking about overseas work. I'm just talking about the simple things that you know you need to get right. And maybe there's somebody in your life that's been begging you to come over and help, and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. Hey, I'll go over with you. I'll go over with you. Somebody will go over with you. I just believe that we have the light of the world living in us. And because he's living in us, we are the light of the world. I hope you believe that today. I hope you embrace it today and let it change your life and understanding who you are, because that's your identity today. You are the light of the world. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And no, I'm not going to sing that to you, okay? We sang it today. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance towards you. Lord, be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance towards you right now, right here. May he guard your going out, your coming in. May he bless you with this peace in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you.